like we explained last week, we're going to start the last portion of this discussion of the Holocaust with a selection of about 20 Shilas and Tshuvas that deal with questions that were asked during the Holocaust, before the Holocaust, after the Holocaust. Many of them are found in the Sefer Mimamakim from Rav Oshri, who was in Slabodka, and others from Rav Meisels, Zvi Hirsch Meisels, who was in Auschwitz. And the purpose is not necessarily to go through the halachas of these shailas, even though we're going to do that also. The main purpose is to see the shaila, to hear the background of what kind of situations people had to deal with and ask shailas about. You know, it wasn't, you know, is these vegetables shmita, can I, whatever. It was much more, I can't say more serious, but much different kind of questions. I think we can appreciate a little bit more our situation if we hear what people had to go through not so long ago. Okay, the first she'ela and the next few will be similar kinds of questions, each one from a different, little bit different perspective. The first one is a person asked about committing suicide to avoid being tortured, to avoid not being able to be buried in a Jewish grave, and to avoid having to see what's going to happen to their family. We'll see the shayla in a second. This one talk is from Rav Oshri, from the Tshuvas Mamakim. And I'm going to read you the shayla itself, because again, the historical value of the shayla is more important to us right now than the halacha of, you know, the maisa, whether a person is allowed to commit suicide or not. Nobody's, I hope, waiting to find out the answer. B'yom vav mar cheshven shnas tofshin beis yomayim lefnei achurban hanorah shel getel kovna. Maybe that's not something, it's in kovna. Kovna and Slobodka were right next to each other. In any case, that was the Kovna ghetto that was liquidated in on the 8th day of Cheshvan in 1941. Tavshin Beis, Mar Cheshvan Tavshin Beis was still 1941. Shah Shaleinenu Huvlu Kaseris Alotim Ish Anoshim Noshim Vitaf Lahachriyom Letevach. What happened was they took the entire ghetto and put them into the town square, about 10,000 people, and prepared them basically to be slaughtered. V'chol echad miyoshvei ha-ghetto tzipa l'keitz hamar eish yizroa ha-resha shel hazedim ha-arurim tunaf ala b'chzorios v'tachrisu me'eretz ha-chayim. And the people basically knew that this was it, right? That they had heard already from other ghettos what had happened, and they realized that the end was near. Oz b'shot trufa zu boy like balabayis echad minich b'dei ha'ir. A certain balabas, who was one of the what's it called, the chashuva people, important, respected people of the city. V'gava ban chaso v'dimaso lechayov. He came to me crying and sighing. Uberov Sicho Amarli, and in the conversation he said to me the following, Kinafsho hi b'sheilaso. He has a question of life and death, literally. Ke'echecha yuchal liros barash or yimtzas mishpachto. They knew already from experience that the way the Nazis functioned was they used to kill the family in front of the parents and then kill the parents. He said, how can I possibly survive seeing my wife and children and my grandchildren? She talking ma'od she yut bechul the neged einov kedei lahagla sar of Yisurav. Right, they're going to be killed in front of his, in front of him before he's killed. Shari arotzkim agirmonim min hagim hayavus anig al Yisurim batzar shel korbanoseihem, because the Nazis gleefully tried to bring as much suffering to the people they killed. They weren't happy just with killing them. They wanted to kill them in the most the most gruesome ways and to make them suffer. They killed the families and in front of the parents, and then they killed the wives in front of the husbands. V'rak achri shoyu masbiyim ezafas chamas haretzach shebesocham sheroscha bekirbon v'nafshem esagno al zakas hamu'unim v'amumosim. And only after they satiated themselves with the cries of these poor people who had to witness their families being killed, only then did they kill the heads of the families, the grandparents, the parents, whatever, the husbands. He said, I won't be able to survive that altogether. My heart will burst. I'll die of a heart attack from seeing what's going to be done, right, which I imagine is going to be done. He wanted to know, is he allowed to commit suicide to avoid all of this suffering? And also, in addition, he also saved himself from being killed with tremendous torture. Another mila is he will die in a way that people will be able to bury him. But on the other hand, if he's part of the total destruction, right, nobody's going to be able to bury these people. Now to understand the last part, usually a person who commits suicide isn't buried in the cemetery together with the regular niftarim, but there's always a separation made some way, and the suicides are buried in a separate part of the cemetery, separated from the other one. However, that's only a suicide that's usher to do. If it's mutter, then obviously there's no reason why you can't bury the person in a regular grave. So the question was, is it mutter to commit suicide over here or not? What's the shaila? So first let me give you, before we go to what he speaks about over here, here it's before the maisa, just to speak about a little bit about suicide in general. It's well known that a person who commits suicide loses their chelik in olam haba, even though there is no specific source for that. The best idea behind it, why that's the case, is because a person's death is mechaper on him, and you need that kapara no matter what. Nobody's a total tzaddik, so death is a kapara. A person does tshuva, and his death is mechaper for his sins. But if the sin is the death, then it can't be mechaper. So a person dies without any kapara. He's a real legitimate suicide. Now, what's a real legitimate suicide? How do we know if a person committed suicide or not? So, based on Tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer and others, the only time that a real suicide would be, where you'd have to bury the person in a different part of the cemetery or whatever, would be if the person, putting everything together, had no basic problems in life. Right, he wasn't pushed to it because of poverty or because of other family problems or whatever, and he for sure killed himself and didn't regret doing it before he died. That means that if there's any doubt at all that the person didn't commit suicide, the person went up on the roof, he said he's going to jump, and then we know that he fell off the roof or he jumped. We don't know that. Maybe in the end he had regretted it and he fell off the roof. So we're not sure, 100%. Or, since he had to fall, could be that on the way down he already regretted it, except it was a little late. So he couldn't do anything about it. So by the time he hit the ground and he died, he wasn't a suicide anymore because he regretted it. If there's any doubt that the person actually took his life, even if there's no doubt, but there was time for the person to regret it, but it was too late because he couldn't reverse the situation, then he's not considered a suicide. There's even an opinion that if he did it because of a terrible tzaris that he had, that it could be it's not a mutter to do, but if he did it, you're not considered a halachic suicide that you can't be buried with other people. I once had a mice in Miami. A woman was found dead. She committed suicide. She took an overdose, an older woman, of medication she was taking. And there were signs that she had tried to cut her wrist first or whatever, so it wasn't just an accidental thing. In any case, first of all, the police got involved, because they already have to investigate, because maybe it was murder. Maybe she didn't do it. Maybe her husband killed her, which was really possible. So I couldn't really argue with the police that it wasn't a possibility. So then there's the shilas about making autopsies, not autopsies. In any case, it was interesting. That had nothing to do with this story, so we'll just leave that off for now. But the story itself, the lemaisa though, because the woman took an overdose, so it didn't kill her right away. So here is a case where you assume that she regretted what she did, but she was too late. So she didn't have a din of a halachic suicide, and nobody had to know, and that was it. We buried her regular burial, whatever. A year later, her children called me that now they were working on the Yerusha, whatever, and they saw a police report. They needed these papers, you know, and the police report said that their mother committed suicide. How come I never told them? So I quickly thought what to say. I said, look, you know that I'm an Orthodox rabbi, and you know that suicides aren't buried in the regular parts of the cemetery. Do you think I would have done something wrong if it was true that your mother committed suicide? They had to say they realized not. So I said, so obviously the police report is wrong. It's a mistake. Right? Your mother didn't commit suicide, because she's buried in a regular grave like everybody else. I didn't tell them what the Chassam Sofer says or whatever, but I was hoping they wouldn't find out from some other way. But that really, that alleviated things. Why did they have to, you know, remember their mother as committing suicide when... But in any case, so that's halachic suicide. Shiloh over here is a different Shiloh. Shiloh is not whether b'dieved a person is considered a suicide or not. The question is, are you allowed to do it? So with the source from the Torah that a person is not allowed to commit suicide, because maybe you could say, look, it's my life, I could do what I want with it. The answer to that is not your life. It's the Rabban Shem's life. He gave it to you. Right? If anything, it's your parents' life. They can make the decision. Right? But that's not true either, because they didn't create it either. They got it from their parents all the way back, and it all ended up with the Rabban Shalom. So the Maisa, a person can't commit suicide, can't, by saying, it's my life, I can do with it, what I want with it. It's even not your body can do. You can't even mutilate yourself and harm yourself, right, for no purpose. It's also. Can't do what you want with your body. Right? This concept, it's my body, I can do what I want with it, is not true, according to Halacha. So where do you know, though, that it's something that's aser? Okay, that's why it's not mutter. How about why it's aser? So there's a pasuk in the Torah. Va'achez dimchem lenafshoseichem edrosh. Right, dimchem lenafshoseichem edrosh. Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam dam ha'yushofech. That murder is not only when you kill somebody else, but dimchem lenafshoseichem, even your own, what's it called, murdering yourself is also aser. However, the Torah puts the word ach before that. Every time it says ach in the Torah, it comes to exclude something. It's a minimizer. And therefore, there's a Gemara that says that yachol kishol ben kish, I might think that this includes also shol. Shol committed suicide. He had his boy give him his sword, and he fell on the sword in order that he should not fall into the hands of the plishtim. Now the question is why? And from this, the way the Gemara seems to say, it's mutter to commit suicide in a situation like Shaul ben Kish. That's not included. Okay, there are different gears over there, but Pashas, that's the way the halacha would be.
Shimshon.
What?
Shimshon.
The?
Shimshon.
Shimshon, I don't know if he committed suicide. He died, yeah, Thomas Nafshi and Plishtim. To a certain degree also, but there it was a little bit different. He was like killing in a war, where you go on a suicide mission. It's not necessarily here. He committed suicide, and there was nothing. He didn't kill anybody else along with him. He just committed suicide. So the question is, why did Shaul commit suicide? So some say because he was afraid that if he was captured by the enemy, he'd be tortured. Some say because they were going to take him and mock him and desecrate him, and he was the king of Klal Yisrael, which was a terrible Chilul Hashem. So he wanted to avoid the Chilul Hashem. So from there, there are those that learn that if a person wants to avoid being tortured, he won't be able to, what's it called, to hold back the torture, that he's allowed to commit suicide. And that is similar to another Gemara. We know that the person has to give up his life rather than, what's it called, the Ovid Avodah Zarah. But there's an opinion that says that's only if they're going to kill you right out. But if they're going to torture you, then it could be you're allowed to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. You have to give up your life, but you don't have to be tortured. Torture is worse than Stam. So therefore, just like Avodah Zarah, you can do, if you're going to be tortured, you can do murder also if you're going to be tortured, at least for yourself. Not to kill somebody else, but to kill yourself if the other alternative is torture. So that's one heter. Not everybody holds from that. They hold that Shaul was not because he was going to be tortured, because it would be a terrible Chilul Hashem. There's another possibility. What happens if somebody is afraid that they will be forced to be over an Aveira, that if they would be given the choice to be over that Aveira or to be killed, they'd have to be killed. Right, in other words, Gilui Arayos or Avodah Zarah, whatever. And they know that the people will not kill them outright, but they'll torture them to a point where they're going to be over this Aveira. It's not the torture that's going to be moderate. But the fact is that normally you'd have to give up your life rather than do this Aveira. But that's when somebody else kills you. Are you allowed to kill yourself to avoid being over that Aveira when you know that the option is not going to be that they'll just kill you and you won't be over the Aveira? They'll torture you and they'll force you to be over the Aveira. So you want to kill yourself first so you won't be over that Aveira. Since that Aveira is something that you're allowed to be killed, are you allowed to kill yourself, or just it has to be passive, can't be active? So in there also, there are opinions that say that for that you're allowed to commit suicide. That's another reason that it would be mutter. So based on these different, what's it called, shitas, he says that probably lahalacha, you could find heterim to tell a person that under the situation that he described, you'd be allowed to commit suicide. However, he said that he didn't do that, because you have to look at the bigger picture. And if he would have been matur this person, then other people would have followed suit, and a lot of people would have taken their own lives. And it would be demoralize everybody, and even people who could have survived maybe wouldn't have survived. In addition to be matter just openly, such a thing is not something that should be done. After the fact, if a person like that decided to commit suicide, and he did, you wouldn't treat him as a suicide, because there's all these possible reasons why what he did was okay. But to say it's okay to begin with, that Rav Oshri didn't want to say, and he ends off, he said, from all the thousands of people that were killed in Kovna, there were only two suicides. Right? However, it's interesting that that's in East Europe. In Western Europe, before there were concentration camps, when they just started with the gzeiras of taking people's parnos away, right, they threw all the academians out of the academia, and lawyers and doctors and whatever were stripped of their parnasa, the beginning in Germany, where the beginning of the Nuremberg laws went, and they started shipping people not to concentration camps where they killed them, just to take them away from their families or whatever. There were many, many suicides. In Western Germany, there were many suicides. In Eastern Germany, there were very, very few. And the difference, Pashtus, was one of the major differences. There are really two differences. One difference was the people in Eastern Europe were more frum. The ones in Western Europe, many of them were assimilated. A frum person who realizes the consequences of committing suicide eternally is going to think about it many more times than a person who doesn't believe in anything anyway, what's going to be afterwards, so why not end it and not be able to give in to not being able to withstand all the pressures that are brought about. There's another reason though. The people in Western Europe were used to a very high lifestyle, and the contrast between what they were thrust into overnight to what their regional lifestyle was so overwhelming that they couldn't control themselves. The people in Eastern Europe, The lifestyle they led was anyway poverty and deprivation, most of them. So the situation when the Nazis came in didn't change in the beginning for sure that much, and gradually they got used to any situation. So they, when the something is a contrast from one extreme to the other, it's very hard to deal with. When the contrast isn't that great, and then it gets progressively worse, but you have a chance to get used to it, you get used to anything. And therefore it wasn't that pressing for people to make the decision to take their own lives. But both reasons together make it that the people in Eastern Europe for the most part did not commit suicide, and the people in Western Europe for a good number of them, even in the beginning when the Xeris didn't get that bad, there were many incidences of suicide.